Well, if you're not going through it, you will. That's a promise from God. If you're not going through it, you will. How do you think he trained you? Listen, remember, you're still in Holy Ghost Boot Camp Officers Training School. You're going to learn until you walk on water. Until you're ready to get out of that boat and walk on water, man. It's going to keep coming and keep coming. And when you think you're all right is when you're going to find out you're not. As soon as you think you're all right somewhere and you got control of something, that's where the devil comes. Hello? Because the areas you think you're strong in is where you let your guard down. So we're going to keep holding on to the new, aren't we? And letting go of the old. See, so what God is doing right now is bringing new, isn't he? It's constantly bringing new, and only new can be fed by new. It doesn't get fed by old. Right? So everything's coming new. Everything's coming new. We're holding on to the new, letting go of the old, aren't we? And in this process, God is bringing things in your life and exposing things and certain things you haven't let go of. Certain things you're still holding offense to. Certain things you're still bitter. Certain areas that you have been bound to of traditions. Certain areas that you've believed were part of your belief system that were incorrect. Certain things that you believe were God and God doing something when it wasn't him. How are you hearing? You know why? Because he's melting everything, exposing everything, so we can become one. Like-minded, like-hearted, and like-willed. All kinds of things are happening. I love it. Because you know why? Behind every circumstance is the favor of God. That's all you have to do is press through and hold on. Because the favor of God is behind it all. And then you get rewarded with his presence. Oh, yes. And I'm not talking gift wrap stuff, you know? I'm talking about the presence of God. There isn't anything greater than his presence. And he so desires to reward each and every one. But you must continue to fight for his presence. You must continue to fight to keep yourself dead and that he stays alive in your life. There is a struggle and a fight. I told you we're already in the third flood. So this struggle and fight's going on till June. So you don't have too much left. Glory to God. But it's okay. Because see, I'd rather ride the wave than get caught up in it. Let that wave take you where you're supposed to be. But don't be a beach bum. Don't become a beach bum, man. Because that wave will fall on you. And you'll wonder, whoa, that's lazy. You can't be lazy now. It's not the time to rest. It's the time to fight. It's the time to battle. Are you hearing? It's not a time to give up. It's not a time to blame anybody else. It's not a time to blame anything. Just know that God is working on you by the things that he's doing in your life. No one said it was going to feel good, but the end result is going to be perfection. He said, be perfect, for I am perfect. Now, we are perfect and perfected in him. Are you hearing? So he's trying to get us more in him and less of us. It's constant. It's every day. Every time you seem to turn to something, there it is. Bam. Whoa, what's up here? Well, what's up here? Well, I didn't know it was going to happen this way. Well, I assumed it would happen this way. See, what he's doing is just killing you quickly. I don't remember who I was talking to, but they said, man, it's happening all over the place. No matter what, I'm trying to do this, this is happening to me. Oh, it was my daughter. She says, everything's happening all at once. I said, praise God. The quicker, the better. Why do one at a time when you can do it all at once? Turn to Matthew 6. I mean, we might as well just get it over with, you know. Might as well die and get it over with. Praise God and go on to the next death. Because there are levels of death, aren't there? Just when you think you're dead to something, oh, hallelujah. There comes the wrong life. Praise God. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Y'all there? Y'all all right? Better lift your hands and get a drink before we get going here. Fill them, Lord. Fill them up. Let's fill, get filled so we can get comprehension, understanding, revelation, impartation, manifestation, and rhema. That it may be life-changing, life-giving, and life-creating in Jesus' name. Verse 25. Therefore, I say to you what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What was that now? Do not what? Worry. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about what? Your life. Okay, you can all go home now. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, he didn't mean don't come around naked, you know what I'm saying? Get dressed, you know? Eat. He didn't mean don't eat, don't get dressed, you know? He just said don't worry about it. In other words, don't make it your priority. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? How many people are convinced if they worry, it's going to do something? You know what I'm saying? There's that false lie of self-gratification. The only thing that gets gratified is the flesh. And then it bites you. Then people worry more and then it bites you more. And it's getting fed. Next thing you know, it shows up with a fork and knife and a napkin and says, okay, let's eat. Worry does nothing. The only reason why people worry is because they still want control. And God is causing us to relinquish control. I said he's causing us to. Yeah, but you don't know. Yeah. No buts, right? No but ministry. Kick it out of your way. And loose yourself from worry and fear and anxiety and stress. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you little bonehead. Oh, you little faith. Therefore, don't worry saying, what shall we eat? Where's my clothes? What shall we drink? What am I going to wear? How am I going to get there? When am I going to get there? Who's going to take me? Oh, there's a wonderful three-letter word for all of that. Die, little faith. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of this. If you would just hold on to faith. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, okay? For tomorrow will worry about its own self. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is something very powerful. And as the Spirit began to bring me through this, he showed me some things that just blew my socks off. He says, seek ye the kingdom of God. That is a place. You must visualize the place. And then it says, and his righteousness. That's a person. That's him. That's his heart. Now, how do you seek? Remember, he said you have little faith. So what's he trying to do? Increase your faith. By what? He says, listen, if you'll seek the kingdom of God, which you realize is a place, are you with me? And you'll seek his righteousness, which the person, in other words, his heart, that's why there's the breastplate of righteousness covering the heart, then all things will be added unto you. Why? Because faith will be increased. Are you hearing me? Okay, now look at, he just said in the beginning, don't worry, don't fear, right? Don't worry. What's that? That's fear, isn't it? So fear nullifies faith, and the opposite of faith is fear. So when you worry, when you're anxious, when whatever, you know what you just touched and agreed with is fear, and you are not walking in faith. So you can't produce righteousness. It's impossible. Why? Because you must seek his place and his righteousness by faith, which produces faith. Come on, are you with me? All right. The Bible says that we're not to look at the things that we see, we're to look at the things that we don't see. The Bible talks about calling those things that are not as though they are. Are you hearing? So you are looking at the kingdom. You are seeking the kingdom. You are seeing the kingdom that you're looking at. And that's your home, isn't it? It's a place that you belong. See, the realization will come that you don't belong here, you belong there. All of a sudden, your faith increases. And he says, now seek my righteousness. In other words, his character, who he is. Seek his heart. And he's going to give you his heart as you give him yours in exchange. And you do these things by faith because you believe. So by believing, you follow. And now he says, when you do these things, righteousness is going to manifest in you. And all things are going to be added to you because I promote righteousness. Are you getting this? Proverbs 3. If you believe God is speaking to you already, he is. If you don't, he is. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, what's trust? What do you think trust is? Does that have anything to do with faith? You betcha. Because without trust, there is no faith. If you can't trust, you can't have faith. The problem is some people trust in the wrong things. They have faith in the wrong things. And it produces unrighteousness. Come on, let that get in your spirit. When you trust in the wrong things and have faith in the wrong things, it always produces unrighteousness. There is a fruit of faith. Now you got it? Faith will always produce righteousness. Always. But trust and faith in the wrong things will produce unrighteousness. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Oh man, I just don't understand this. That's good. What do you mean I got to understand? Oh, you want control again, don't you? Yeah, but. No buts. God is going to move so rapidly and so quickly you won't have time to understand everything. You must just trust all the way through. The relationship with you and God is not on a need-to-know basis. It's on a trust basis. That's called faith. Can you imagine God having to come down and explain everything to you and every little thing? We'd never get anything done. Do you explain every little detail to somebody? If you do, you're an idiot. Because you're wasting a lot of time, man. When I was teaching my daughter how to ride the bike, I said, get on. She said, okay. She didn't ask me how many times she had to spin the pedal. She didn't tell me how many steps I was going to take to let her go. Are you understanding? I didn't explain anything. I said two simple words, get on. And she did. Why? Because she trusted. She had faith that I wasn't going to let go when I wasn't supposed to. Are you hearing? She had faith that if she began to lean one way or another, that I would grab her. That's how we need to be with God. Just get on. We probably need to do a teaching. Just get on. We have one called Just Do It, right? In verse 6. In all of your ways, what? Acknowledge Him, and He will what? Direct your paths. Oh, hallelujah. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. How many of y'all want new wine? That's His presence, man. I'm telling you what, I want fresh wine. I want fresh wine every day. Trust, have faith. Lean not on your own understanding. Quit reasoning, it produces fear. Are you understanding? So there's three things we must do. We must acknowledge Him, fear Him, and honor Him. What must we do? Acknowledge Him, fear Him, and honor Him. Then wait for a righteous attitude, for the righteous decision. Come on, get it. When you begin to acknowledge Him, fear Him, and honor Him, then you wait. You get that righteous attitude. That's grateful, thankful, hallelujah. And then the righteous decision comes. Now you know what's truly to do. So what do? You acknowledge Him, you fear Him, and you honor Him. Then you wait for the righteous attitude. Yes. And then the righteous decision will always come. In Romans 9. Romans 9 and verse 27. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For He will finish the work and cut it short in what? Are you hearing me? He's going to what? Finish the work, and He's going to cut it short in what? Righteousness. That's what's going on right now. He's cutting everything short. There's not enough time. Cutting it short. You mean that's why I'm going through all the stuff I'm going through and all this? Yes. That's why. How's He going to cut it short in righteousness? So you've got to begin to produce righteousness so you can get in place. I mean, that's why this is happening all around me. My family, this, that, my job, the finances, all of this is happening. What? Yes, it is. That's why. It's cutting it short. What? So you can produce righteousness. That's the only way you're going to cut through. You know how many times you go up, you're considering going up the driveway, you know, and you're, but you know, if you cut across the front lawn, it's shorter. But you don't want to leave marks on the lawn, you know. Because you know if you do it, somebody else is going to follow you. So you look around and you take real big steps. And you cut across the front lawn. And you get to the front door. You got quicker, didn't you? You saved 3.2 seconds. But to you, it mattered tremendously. I mean, it was a matter of like life and death, those 3.2 seconds. That's what God is doing right now. Because 3.2 seconds in the spirit realm compared to the natural realm. Hello? The Bible says one day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. So 3.2 seconds with God would be like what? I'm not going to figure it out, but it's plenty. So understand that God is cutting things short. So he's causing you to produce righteousness. Now, faith produces righteousness. Verse 28. And it says, and he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. You're in it right now. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of the Sabbath had left us seed, we would have become like Sodom, and we would be made like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. The what? The righteousness of faith. That's tonight's teaching. The righteousness of faith. Why? Because faith produces righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Chapter 10, 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be what? Saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Are you ready? Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, this is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith by which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we see here something important, that the law promotes self-righteousness. The law promotes self-righteousness because it has no faith. The law has no faith. It's all done by works. Are you hearing me? And nobody can obey it. So when you're in the flesh, you are judged by the law, aren't you? Israel rejected salvation through the gospel by faith. They wanted to stay under the law. They believed that they were obeying the law. They rejected much of the gospel. When Jesus came, they rejected him, didn't they? Because they were not able to receive by faith. They believed that they needed to maintain the works under the law, which brought them self-gratification of self-righteousness. They couldn't even obey all the law. So they were not producing the righteousness of God. They were producing self-righteousness. But the Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Why? Because you're doing this by faith. And faith produces righteousness. Are you with me? Matthew 5 and verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how many are blessed and highly flavored? Praise God. How shall it be seasoned then? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. See, the only way the righteousness could be established was for Jesus to fulfill the law, which was killing or brought death to self-righteousness, so that the righteousness of God could be established in us and through us by faith. Because faith produces righteousness. But the moment you want control, the moment you get in the flesh, you are now establishing self-righteousness and falling from grace. You are moving yourself out of the favor of God. And you're not producing the righteousness of God. You're promoting self-righteousness, which is you. Does everybody get this? For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. So he says, your righteousness must exceed theirs. They were self-righteous because they were under the law. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law and destroy the self-righteousness. See, now you and I are under the law of grace, under the law of the Spirit, so that you can fulfill the law because he fulfilled it. Why? Because the price was paid constantly for me and you so that we can obey the commandments. Are you hearing me? How do you obey the commandments when nobody can obey every single one with them? Because you're covered by the blood. So when you make a mistake, you repent. That keeps you covenanted, isn't it? See, because the Ten Commandments, to obey them was the only way you could keep covenant, or else you broke covenant. See, but now we have an eternal covenant, and by faith you're always producing the righteousness of God in your life. That allows you so much. That opens the gates of heaven. The righteousness of God grants you favor. The righteousness of God grants you healing. The righteousness of God grants you salvation. The righteousness of God grants you prosperity. It isn't anything that you've done. It's everything that he has done. But it just takes something. Faith. Faith. That means trusting in him. Faith. Lean not on your own understanding. Give up control. Acknowledge him. Fear him. And honor him in everything that you do. Wait for the righteous attitude, and it will produce the righteous decision of what you're supposed to do. Why? Because you're doing it by faith now. Faith opens the door. Faith. Are y'all okay? Praise God. He fulfilled the law, and we're continuing to fulfill the law. Why? Because our own righteousness must excel above the scribes and Pharisees that tried to justify themselves by obeying the law, right? But it was done, completed, by faith. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and he is the example that we are to follow in his righteousness. So he said, follow me. This is how you do it. Go ahead, just follow my steps, and this is how you do it. What did he do? The first thing he showed up, he said, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's faith. Believe means to what? Follow. So he said, follow me. If you'll follow me, faith is going to produce righteousness, the righteousness of God in your life, and everything is available to you. Everything. Psalm 97. You mean me just believing and following is producing the righteousness of God? Yes. The Bible says the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Hold on to that. Psalm 97. In verse 1 and 2. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Now look at this. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne room. What's the foundation of the Lord's throne room? Righteousness and justice. Whoa. So you want to hang out at the throne room? Are you hearing? Do you want to hang out at the throne room? Then righteousness and justice is the foundation of his throne room. That allows you to walk into his throne room. You get it? It's the foundation of his throne room. Go to Romans 1. So if it's the foundation of his throne room, it's the foundation in our life, isn't it? Righteousness and justice. Now, what's righteousness? Faith produces righteousness, doesn't it? Lean not on your own understanding. Trust him with all of your heart. Follow. Abide in me and I'll abide in you, he says. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the what? Righteousness of God is revealed from what? From faith to faith. It is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Quit trying to save somebody. You can't. It all starts with prayer. It all starts with an example. Are you hearing? You must first be the example. God will bring them to you. Then all of a sudden, whoa, this is an opportunity. Yes. Why? Because they see righteousness. They can't understand righteousness. You got to remember something. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is good and evil. It is not righteousness. The tree of life is righteousness. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil produces self-righteous. So the world is under the self-righteous tree. And that's all that produces: survival, competition, pride, arrogance, deception, lies, me, me, and me. The trinity of Satan, me, myself, and I. It does not produce righteousness. It produces self-righteousness. That's why people are still fighting for their life instead of giving it. In verse 18, for the what? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and the birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. God cut them loose. Now let me share something with you. A couple weeks ago, during a service in the park, I had a vision of the Lord handing out certificates. And when I realized what kind of certificates he was handing out, he was handing out certificates of divorce. And it wasn't just about marriages. It was about, he was cutting loose people. Here, here, here. In other words, it was almost like he was coming to the point of, it's time for you to chase me. It's time for you to come after me. It's time for you to come after me. Go ahead. I'm cutting you loose. I'm divorcing you. I'm divorcing. You remember he divorced Israel, didn't he? And he's going to remarry them. But look what they're going to have to go through. tribulation. They're going to have to go through torment, the wrath of God and the wrath of the devil before. And many people are going to die and curse God and go to hell. But I'm telling you, he's cutting loose. And we're there right now. He's cutting loose of people. He was handing out divorces. I'm thinking, certificates of divorce. I was like, oh, wow. I just saw him handing these things out, just going, go ahead. The Bible says those will grow worse, won't they? He said, they're in the latter days, they're going to call that which is good, bad, and bad, good. And he's letting them go, cutting them loose. That's why the Bible talks about getting saved by the skin of their teeth. He's cutting them loose. So look at what's happening here. What's happening? Look at the divorce rate. Look at the fornication that's going on in the body of Christ. Look at the things that are going on right now in the body of Christ. You know why? They're being cut loose. They're being turned over. Look at what this is happening. He says, professing to be wise, they became fools, changing the glory of God, of the incorruptible God, into an image made like corruptible man. And birds of four-footed animals and creeping things, verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. He gave them up. In other words, he divorced them. He cut them loose. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served creature rather than creator who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to a vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their own error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debates. Mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who do them. In other words, those deserving of death are the ones that approve it. The Bible says the just live by faith, right? It is a righteousness of God because faith produces righteousness. We are to maintain the knowledge of His truth in us, not exchanging His righteous acts for unrighteous deeds. He is cutting loose. That ought to be a fear enough. Lord, please don't cut me loose. Go to Proverbs 12. Remember, Paul turned over a person to Satan, right? He cut him loose, didn't he? That his soul could be saved. Though his flesh may be destroyed. In Proverbs 12, verse 13. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. Ah, faith produces righteousness. So your faith is going to bring you through. Why? Because you're producing righteousness and God's going to shortcut it. So you'll be able to go across the lawn and not one foot will touch it. Righteous will come through troubles. Why? Because we're going to acknowledge, we're going to fear, and we're going to honor. We're going to wait for the righteous attitude to make the righteous decision. Why? Because you're going to make it by faith, aren't you? Faith produces righteousness. Proverbs 10, in verse 1 and 2. This is the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from From what? Death. The Lord would not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. Oh, hallelujah. So he delivers from death. Righteousness will deliver you from death. Righteousness will cut you through, shortcut you through the trouble. Does everybody get it? Proverbs 13, verse 5 and 6. A righteous man hates lying. Would you say that again? A righteous man hates lying. Now, justification is lying. Are you hearing? A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Hates lying, this righteousness hates lying and guides him. Are you hearing? In Romans 8, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 8. So then those who are what? In the flesh cannot please God. So those who are in the flesh can't please God. So who tries to get you in the flesh? The devil. What's he do? If he can get you to sow in the flesh, you reap corruption, then he has three accesses to you to steal, kill, and destroy, right? In the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Now, this is powerful. I want you to hold on to this, too. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who what? Dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because by live according to the flesh you're under the law. And that produces self-righteousness. Y'all get this? For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. Why? Because if you're under the law, you can't fulfill them anyways. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's produced by faith in Christ. You get it? It's not flesh that produces righteousness. Are you understanding? Flesh will produce unrighteousness because you're doing it in your own strength. You got it? So flesh is under the law. Are you hearing? But by faith is under the Spirit. In fact, faith produces righteousness. But there's somebody who's always trying to teach you faith. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. We all know this scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their transgressions to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God in him. We are the righteousness of God in him by faith. Now remember, faith produces righteousness. Are you hearing? When you are in the flesh, you're producing self-righteousness. Where there is condemnation, there is judgment by the law. But by faith, you are producing the righteousness of God, which is going to bring glory to God. It's going to grant you favor in every area. Now, that's why we acknowledge him, we fear him, and we honor him. We wait for the righteous attitude to make the righteous decision. I'm going to give you a little example here. A while back, we... Hallelujah. This one was killer. A while back, we started a business to glorify Christ. And the Lord gave us confirmation that this was all him and so forth. And, of course, even when God gives you something that's of him, you still must cooperate with him to maintain it. Are you hearing? So when you come in partners with somebody, you better make sure that the other partner is walking right with God. Well, you hope he is anyways. Anyways, what had happened was we placed an ad in the Yellow Pages for the business. And then we were told that you could, you know, do the internet, and it was just, you know, if you use it for a little bit, then that's cool, then you can just cancel it. Well, before the Yellow Pages were sent out, something occurred, and I shut down the business. So I called the Yellow Pages, and they said, no, it's already in print. I said, well, it ain't out yet. What do you mean? And of course, they probably lied. I don't know. So then I said, okay, well, then let's cancel the internet thing. And they said, no, that's continuous too. And I said, no, that's not what you told us. So these things were all put in my name that I signed for. And it was like $500 and something a month that I would have to pay for a whole year without running the business through it at all. I wasn't happy. So whatever money was left in our account, I sent to them and I said, here. They helped reduce certain things and whatever because of, I guess, if you close a business and you didn't use it. And no one told me that I had to shut the phone off. So then they told me about 2 months later to if I shut the phone off, this would stop and this and that, whatever. I said, why didn't you tell me that the first day? Because you're dealing with AT&T, demonic. Demons from hell run that place. So anyways, so if you work for AT&T, make sure you're under the blood. So anyways, what occurred then was they sent me a notice and whatever and saying, okay, now you got to pay this all off at one time. And it was like $3,500. They said, you got to pay this all off at one time. And of course, I looked up to heaven. I said, this is nuts, Dad. You know. So some money came into the account, and then I closed out the account and I sent them maybe about $1,000. Something like that. Anyways, I think the balance was $2,000, so it must have been a little bit more. And so another statement came and it said, okay, you owe $2,000 now. We want it paid off in full. So I mail it to the person that was involved with me, figured maybe they'll pay some of it. You know, maybe a little conviction will come, you know. Apparently they didn't. I guess no conviction came because they were hardened. So I get a call from some collection agency, some attorney's office, and they said all this kind of stuff, you know, we're going to put a lien on your house, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and whatever. And, you know, I was beating my flesh down. So I wasn't able to talk freely because I was involved in and out of things and whatever. So I just said I'd call you back. So when I tried to call back, the number that was on my cell phone wouldn't connect with them. Of course, my hope was that there was a sign from God, but it wasn't. Then they called again, and I wasn't available and so forth, and they left an 800 number, so I called, and it was busy. And I thought, oh, praise, this is getting better. You know, maybe, you know, Lord, you're going to, you know, I did pray. And I sent them a letter asking them to grant this favor. And, you know, whatever money I sent, here you go, here's $1,000 or $1,500 or whatever it was to, because of the business, this, that, whatever, that they would just grant this favor and just nullify the rest of it because it's not costing them anything. And, of course, they didn't agree upon it. So then this woman calls who's, you know how they are, they're not very nice, nasty, and so I start talking with her, and I explained to her what went on. And she said, well, the only thing I can do is collect that full amount right now. Are you willing to make payments on it? So I thought, yeah, sure, I'll make payments on it. She said, how much? I said, $50 a month. She said, no. I said, wait a minute, I'm willing to give you something. She goes, no. I said, okay. She goes, well, look, at this is what I'm going to do. If you pay it off today, I'll knock it down to $1,500. She says that we're putting a lien on your house today. Now, this was an attorney's office. I was able to see whatever I needed to see on the thing. So I said, you know, I said, Lord, and my thoughts were like, okay, I want to make the righteous decision. I want to make the right decision. I know even if they put a lien on your house, you can always negotiate with them later and get it off. So I said, well, go ahead. I said, if you're not willing to accept what I'm, I said, can I make payments on the $1,500? She said, no, this has to be done right now. I said, well, then go ahead and do what you got to do. And I hung up. So I went to the Lord, and the Lord said to me, you know, you could still make that $50 a month payment. I said, how? He said, just charge it. I said, you know, I don't want to bring shame to your name at all, Lord. I want to do what's right, whatever. He said, well, you signed it. I said, okay. He said, have faith, guy. And I said, yes, Lord. So I called the woman back. I said, listen, here's the charge card. Here's this, whatever. I'll pay for it to make my $50 a month payments. And she said, okay. And that was that. But see, I had to go get counsel. I wanted to do, because what? Faith was producing righteousness. Do you understand? And if I didn't move out in faith on this and trust God that he would make whatever needs to be done, it wouldn't produce righteousness. So when I did that, it produced righteousness and it touched this girl's heart, because then I got to minister to her over the phone. And she goes, and I said, it's not about the money. She goes, I know. She could sense in her spirit that it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the thing of the money. It was the thing about doing the right thing before God to produce the righteousness. So when I called her back, I said, yes, I went and had a discussion. She said, oh. I said, yes, it was with the Lord. She goes, oh. And I said, so, here's the card, and I gave her the card number and so forth, and charged it, and that was that. But she was able to sense and see the righteousness of Christ. It was not about the money. It was about making the righteous decision with the righteous attitude. So by faith, righteousness was being produced. Does everybody understand that? Did I like it? No. My flesh wanted vengeance. You know, you can sense that tail start to grow. You got to cut out, turn around and cut it off. You know, you can sense that flesh wanting to take over and do your thing and have control. No! Whatever it takes, it's not my money anyways. Do you understand? See, because I signed it and made a vow. I didn't get relinquished from that vow, and I went to Dad to try and get it relinquished. He said, listen, I saved you $400 or $500. I said, you got a point there. And you can still make $50 a month payment if you want, even though you can make more. I said, yeah, okay. But see, it was about making the righteous decision. I didn't want to offend the Lord. And then I didn't want to plant a corruptible seed in an individual. When you make a vow, you do it. You do it. Because, see, I didn't care about the money circumstance. I was upset of being stolen. You know what I'm saying? I believed the money was being taken. I believed by that the enemy was getting access. But the Lord was going to take care of it. Why? Because the Bible says that the devil's got to return to you sevenfold of what he's stolen. So if he stole that and I had to pay for it, it's coming back sevenfold no matter what. Because of a vow that was made. Never go on to another thing until you fulfill the vow that you made already. If you go on to another thing, you're not producing the righteousness of God. You're producing the unrighteousness. Are you hearing? This is important. You know, even though I may be in the right, it doesn't matter. Even though you may be in the right, it doesn't matter. The end result is the righteous decision made and produced by faith. By faith. You know how many times people get snared in these circumstances? I'll never use AT&T again. And I won't recommend anybody to. Because I wouldn't want to put money into that seed into that company. I learned my lesson. But I said I learned my lesson. But God was still glorified through it. Righteousness was still produced, and that's what we want. That is the end result. Why? By faith, righteousness was produced, no matter what. The vow was fulfilled and completed. Done and over with. I was totally set free from that. You know, so many people are trying to avoid phone calls from collectors and so forth. I'm telling you, just do the right thing. Fear God. Acknowledge Him. Honor Him. Wait on the righteous attitude, not on a prideful attitude. Then the righteous decision will be manifested. See, I had to back away from it. I had to back away from it all and go to the Lord. Okay, what do you want me to do here? And then when the righteous attitude came, the righteous decision came, because I acknowledged Him, I feared Him, and I honored Him and didn't want to bring shame to His name. Now, this just happened today. So you got a live teaching. So did I. Go to Galatians 2, verse 19. For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I died today. I'm still dying today. And I know when that bill comes, I'm going to die again. But I'm going to know I did the righteous thing. That's all that matters. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. If I did not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Why? Because righteousness comes by what? Faith. Do you understand that? Comes by what? Faith. Verse 1 over here, chapter 3. All foolish believer, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of the faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh or by the law or by your selfish righteousness and your own works? Are you getting this? How many people begin in the Spirit walking by faith? Then they end up. Well, if they're producing righteousness, and then they end up producing unrighteousness because it's self-righteous, because they're going in their own strength. No, they're no longer walking by faith, they're walking by sight. If it doesn't look right, It ain't right. If it doesn't feel right, it's not right. If it doesn't smell right, it's not right. If it doesn't think right, it's not right. Do you understand it? Now everything's gone by the flesh. It's not by the Spirit anymore. It's by the flesh. Having begun in the Spirit, but by faith, put yourself under the law of the flesh, which produces self-righteousness or unrighteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Verse 12, would you read it with me? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we have to fight the good fight of faith. Why? Which produces righteousness. Produces righteousness. 1 John 2. Man, you're fighting. I was fighting today, let me tell you. Mr. Flesh wanted to do it my way. His way. That's not my way anymore. My dad does exceedingly abundantly, far above all I could ever ask or think. And the promises always come right after the testing. So I'm expecting something big. I'll be opening my door looking in heaven every night. Okay, you're coming. I know it's up. Something's coming. It's coming from heaven. The Bible says all good things come from your Father in heaven, right? So, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Little children, is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest, that they what? That none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you what? You know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Read this with me. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now listen, the anointing teaches you faith. Come on, say it with me. The anointing teaches me faith. Why do you get convicted? To get in faith and come out of the flesh. Is sin the product of flesh? Yes. The Holy Spirit, the mentor, the teacher, the anointing teaches you how to walk in faith. Because the Bible says faith pleases God. How do you think Jesus pleased God? He walked in what? Faith. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He went about doing good, right? And setting those who were oppressed by the devil with the anointing. Why? Because he moved by faith. Did he not produce righteousness? So the anointing is going to teach you faith. That's why you go through trials and tribulations. That's why you're going through certain things. Why? Because the anointing is training you how to stay in faith so that you can produce the righteousness of God. Do you all understand this? Go to verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. And when he appears, we may have what? Confidence, not be ashamed before him at his coming. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is what? Born of him. Wow. So if you're practicing righteousness, are you walking in faith? Yes. If you're producing unrighteousness, are you walking in faith? No. Go to 1 John 5. First four verses, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Are y'all all right? Are you getting this? So who teaches you? The anointing teaches you what? Faith. That's why you get up in the morning and go, good morning, Holy Spirit. What's he there for? Teach you faith. The just shall live by faith. And faith produces the righteousness of God. In verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him, who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what? Burdensome. Let me tell you, when you're in the Spirit, nothing is burdensome. Verse 4, read it with me. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Do you get this? Why? Who taught you faith? The anointing. And then faith produces the righteousness of God. Overcome the world by what? Faith. Didn't Jesus said when Peter said, you are the Christ, and he said, that's right. And this revelation that you got, I'm going to build my church. By what? The anointing. I'm going to build my church by what? The anointing. And the gates of hell will what? Not prevail. Do you understand? See, the devil fears. He fears your faith. Because he knows the anointing is teaching you faith. So if he can prevent you from learning faith, walking in faith, he can prevent you from producing the righteousness of God. And that's all anything else will produce is self-righteousness. And he has access to you. Because by producing self-righteousness, that's flesh. And then he has access to steal, kill, and destroy. Revelation 19. We'll close here. Yes, so you got to give up control, man. You got to quit worrying. You got to come out of the flesh. You got to get in the Spirit. You got to start going after God. You got to start going after his heart. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. I just don't understand why things aren't going my way. Why is this? Why is that? I don't understand. I've got so much stuff. Get in the Spirit. Let the Spirit teach you faith. Produce the righteousness of God, and all things will be added to you. Everything. Why? Because the devil fears when you're in the faith. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against the anointing. Revelation 19 and verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God and all his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of the great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is a righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. The righteous acts produce the garments. Everybody wants to have clean garments, right? Amen. It produced the garments, the righteous acts. Remember, the anointing teaches you faith. So the stuff you're going through is for your teaching. Why? To walk in faith. By walking in the Spirit, you... Let me share something with you. People think that walking in the Spirit is goosebumps. That's not walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is not speaking in tongues. Walking in the Spirit is faith. It's making a conscious decision. Are you hearing me? To acknowledge, to fear, and to honor Him. When that conscious decision is made, you are now walking in the Spirit. But it's important that you be filled with the Spirit so you can walk in the Spirit. And how is that done? By faith. Why? Because the anointing is teaching you. He's teaching you. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Why? Because the anointing is leading them. He's teaching them. They're getting filled. They're learning how to walk by what? Faith, which produces the righteousness of God. And the devil does not want you to walk by faith. And the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. That's how the kingdom of God is manifested. Why? Because if you're walking by faith, the kingdom of God is going to be manifested. And the devil doesn't want that because he wants his kingdom to be manifested by producing self-righteousness, pride, arrogance, fear, walking by sight. Woe is me, my way. No, it's all God way. Is everybody okay? We overcame the world by what? Faith. 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 Pleases God. So whatever you're going through, whatever you don't think you don't have, and whatever you think you need, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and it will be added to you. Acknowledge, fear, and honor Him. Wait for the righteous attitude to make the righteous decision, because it will be done by faith. And it will please God. Shut the door to the devil, muzzle his mouth, and you can walk in freedom, and you know whatever the devil stole from you is coming back sevenfold. Y'all get this. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. We acknowledge right now, and we ask for Your forgiveness in those areas that we have not walked by faith. We ask for Your forgiveness every time we've wanted to have control of something and trying to do it our way. We ask for Your forgiveness in producing self-righteousness and not manifesting righteousness where the kingdom of God is being manifested. Holy Spirit, we ask for Your forgiveness for the anointing that teaches us faith. We ask today, Lord, that You would grant us more faith that we may abide in You and You in us, and that Your kingdom would be manifest and that You would be glorified. I apply the blood of Jesus on the seed so it will grow for Your glory. Establish Your people, Master. Visit them in dreams and visions, and let faith arise in each and every one, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.